Thank you, Mr. Kanza. It's certainly good to see all of you here again. I don't know what it is about these last few weeks, but it just seems like 1 week covers months. It seems like so long ago, it seems just last Sabbath. We have, in the last number of months, heard quite a bit about division. And we know that, unfortunately, division does take place. It is going to happen. But Paul gives us a warning. He exhorts us about those who cause division. Why don't we take a look at that? Let's turn over to Romans 16, and we're going to be looking at verses 17 and 18. So here in Romans 16, we see what Paul has told us about this. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. We see in the experiences that we've had when divisions take place, too often people focus on the pronouns of us and them, trying to set themselves in one group or the other. It's always us versus them. But when we start to see divisions arising, instead of focusing on us, instead of focusing on them, perhaps the pronoun we need to focus on is me. How do I keep myself focused on God and not swayed into division by smooth words and fair speeches? It's a question that has come up time and again. Let's take a look at that. If you would turn with me back to Psalm 119, we're going to spend some time today here in Psalm 119, so if you want to mark that, we'll be coming back to that. Psalm 119, and in verses 9 and 10, we read, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And here we find a key that will help us to avoid divisions, to focus our attention where it should be focused. And that we find in verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Do I seek God with my whole heart? Is my heart divided? These are questions we need to ask ourselves when it comes to our relationship with God, because we do want to be following God wholeheartedly. So today, I want to focus on what we can do to keep our whole heart turned to God. So what does it mean? Let's first examine the implications, the meaning of this phrase, my whole heart. What does it indicate? If you turn with me here to Luke in chapter 10 and verse 27. Here we're breaking into the context here where Jesus was asked, well, what is the greatest commandment? So here in Luke 10 and verse 27, let's take a look at his response. And answering, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. What we see here is that integral with our relationship with God, we have our emotions, we have our intellect, and we have our actions. These all work together to help define who we are, how we feel, what we think, what we do. Now let's take a look at that in terms of division. What do people do when they're trying to rally you to some cause that they have, rarely do they come to you with a rational, well-thought-out plan, point A, point B, here's why you need to follow what I'm saying. More often than not, the approach that is taken is an emotional appeal. They will try to play on your emotions, whether it's nostalgia or some heartwarming story or fear. You know, you've got to follow me because if you don't, this is going to happen. Or one of the most widely used is indignation. There's some perceived injustice here, which is why you have to follow me, because that's what I'm going to correct. I'm here to address that. You need to follow my cause because of this injustice. If you want to see examples of this, we're in the prime season for that right now. I don't know if you can tolerate it, but listen to these political advertisements. You got some heartwarming, oh, here's someone with his family he's running for. It make you feel good that you're going to vote for this person because he's just the right one. Or fear, if you vote these people in, cataclysmic results are going to come about. You can't do that. You can't vote for that person. Or these people, look what they've done. You know, they're against this group and they're against that group, and that's just not right, so you have to support me. These are classic cases, classic methods that are used to grab a hold of your emotions, to pull you into their cause. And we need to recognize that, because think about what happens. Once you are invested emotionally into a situation, that emotion then pulls in your intellect, pulls in your actions, because it's all part of you and who you are. There are a lot of times, once we are emotionally invested and hooked into a situation, that we will look at an argument and say, oh yeah, that sounds reasonable. Whereas if that argument were presented on its own, outside of the emotional context, it would not sound reasonable. It would not hold water. So a lot of times we see the situation where people use emotions to pull us into division. So does that mean in order to avoid divisive people, we just have to suppress our emotions? We have to tamp them down? We have to ignore them and keep them out of the way? No, of course not. We can't do that because our emotions are part of who we are. Our emotions are part of our relationship with God, as Jesus outlined here. So instead of trying to suppress them, we need to learn how to use those emotions to properly direct them to follow God. So as our emotions are following God, the rest of us also comes along with that, because it's all part of one package. So we need to emotionally learn to follow God, to follow His ways, His teachings, so that we aren't led astray by the words of men. So how do we direct our emotions so that our whole heart, our mind, and our soul are centered on loving God? So let's go back to Psalm 119. There are a couple things that we can do here. Psalm 119, this time we're going to be looking at verses 145 and 146. Psalm 19, verses 145 through 146. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I'll keep your testimonies. Turning our whole heart to God first requires that we desire to have contact with God, and not just a casual desire. It has to be a strong desire. I cry out with my whole heart. Every aspect of my being desires His contact, this direction, this instruction from God. This isn't a casual calling out as if you would do on the street, "Hey, Chuck, how you doing?" No, this is a plea, a fervent desire to have that contact with God. It's a plea of someone needing, beseeching God to understand him, to understand his ways, and what he wants for us. God wants us to be zealously approaching him, desiring his ways. Because if we're zealously, diligently seeking God, trying to understand how to live lives according to his ways, then we're not going to have a divided heart. That heart, the emotions, our thoughts are going to be focused on God. Sometimes you talk about tunnel vision and how it's bad. Well, in this case, it's not, because we want that vision to be clearly focused on God and his ways, so that we're not distracted here, we're not distracted off to this side. We don't want anyone to be able to divide us, to separate us from God. Jesus Christ was zealous for God, for his ways. You don't need to turn there, but take a when we look at the situation where he was in there overturning the tables of the money changers and driving them out of the temple, in John 2:17, we're told that at that time, the disciples remembered. John 2:17 says, "And his disciples remembered that it was written, 'The zeal of your house has consumed me.'" Jesus Christ was consumed by the zeal for God's house, his kingdom, his plan, the plan he has for us to become part of his family. That zeal consumed him. What does it mean to be consumed by something? Think about a fire consuming something, or when you consume your meal. To be consumed by something means that you are completely committed to what it is that is consuming you. You become part of it. There's no distinction anymore, because you are so fully engaged, and in this case, so fully engaged in God's plan that there was nothing else. So how fully consumed are we to be in seeking God's ways with our whole heart? Let's continue here in Psalm 119. In verses 147 and 148. "I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." As we start our day, as we arise, whether it's before dawn or after the sun is up, are we focused on God's ways? Do we cry for help, knowing that another day is starting? Another possible set of troubles could be brewing. And knowing that, more likely than not, we're not going to be able to get through it on our own. We need the strength of God. We need his help. "God, I'm calling on you. I know there are going to be good things today. There are going to be bad things today. Whatever happens, help me through it. Help me to keep forefront in my mind, in my heart, your ways. Help me handle whatever situation comes up in a proper godly way. Whether it's what I hear, what I do, what I say. Because my hope is in your word." God's word promises that he will be with us, that he will help us, he will strengthen us, guide us, What greater hope can you have? What better way to start a day than to realize that you're focused on God and He's going to be with you through that day? So I cry for help. I hope in your word at the beginning of the day. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Most of the time through the night watches, my eyes are not open. I have a hard enough time as the evening begins to keep my eyes open. But have you ever had a time when you do wake up in the middle of the night and your mind is still spinning, twirling with the worries and the concerns that you have? Or before you go to bed, your mind is still, you know, maybe things didn't go too well today. Or how am I going to deal with such and such as it comes up for the next few days? What better time to meditate on God's word, to realize that He is with us, He brought us through another day, He'll bring us through the following days to come, if we're still focused wholeheartedly on His ways, on what He has instructed us to do. So we see that we are fully consumed in focusing on God's ways. And it starts with seeking Him earnestly, seeking Him fervently. But there's another aspect of that too. Because as I said earlier, when we pursue that with our whole heart, there's not going to be room for division. Let's go back to Psalm 119 again, where I started today. Psalm 119, verses 9, and this time we'll go through verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 9. Again, the question comes up, how can a young man cleanse his way? And it doesn't apply to just young men, it applies to all of us. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Well, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. As we encounter the situations that we come across day in and day out, as we are aware of situations where division is starting to take place, how do we properly judge those situations? How do we properly discern what is happening? Except that we have God's word in our heart, so that we can understand what His ways are, so that we can look at a situation and say, yes, I can see where the fruits of God's Spirit are being developed here, or no, those do not match what God tells us we should be doing as Christians. And if that's the case, then we need to do like Paul warned us. When we see that, you avoid it. You stay away from it. Don't get involved with it. So if we hide God's word in our heart, and there's a reason for it. You notice that? Your word I've hidden in my heart. Not to make me smarter. Not to make me wiser or better than anybody else. But the reason we do that is that I might not sin against God. Because after all, He is the reason we're here. His is the standard we're trying to live up to. No one else's. That we cannot discern properly. We cannot judge properly if we don't fervently desire and fervently put that law in our heart to understand His ways. We have to learn to choose what is right. And the only way we can do that is by following God's laws. You see, division, by its very nature, is distracting us from pursuing God's way. It wants us to veer off to the left or veer off to the right instead of keeping that straight path. But if we have God's word hidden, stored, filling up our heart wholeheartedly, then the chance of that happening is reduced to practically nothing. But we have to keep working at it. We have to have God's laws securely placed and lodged within our hearts so that we can both judge both emotionally and logically. It's interesting, when you look at this section of Psalm 119 here, Kyle and Delish had the following to say about it. "One is said to hide the word in one's heart when one has it continually present with him, not merely as an outward precept, but as an inward motive power in opposition to selfish action." What drives us? What motivates us? Is it our own selfish desires? Or is it a desire to follow God's ways? That's what it means to have His Word hidden in our heart. So to keep from falling for divisive words, the first thing we really need to do is to wholeheartedly, fervently seek God and His ways. But does it stop there? It can't stop there. That is not enough, because there's more. Again, here in Psalm 119, let's take a look at verses 34 through 36. Psalm 119, verses 34 through 36. Psalmist here is again pleading to God for an action. Verse 34, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness." Beyond seeking God, we need to understand His ways. Not just read them and know that these are the laws of God. We need to understand them. We need to more fully dig into them, learn how to apply them in our lives, to understand how they work for us. We need to understand His ways and keep them. Because you think about it, if we learn to love God's law, and we see in another part of the Psalms, "Oh, how I love your law." If we learn how to love God's law, and if we learn how to delight in it, those are emotional approaches, aren't they? But if we love God's law and we delight in it, what are we going to do? We will get to the point where we can rationally, logically look at God's law and say to ourselves, nothing else makes sense. Nothing else is right for living life more fully than God's laws. So now we're emotionally hooked with God's laws, attached to them emotionally in our heart. We're rationally saying, yes, this is the right thing to do. And that leads even more so to us desiring to keep God's laws, to live them, to do them. And again, we have those three aspects, the emotion, the intellect, and the action, which are fully centered on keeping God's ways and living by them. Because, again, when our hearts are inclined to God, we aren't as likely to follow the divisive ways of men who are acting out of their own covetousness. So again, ask the question, is my heart divided? Is its focus somewhere else other than God? Or if I do focus on God, do I do it full time? Am I wholeheartedly focusing on God, trying to learn and understand His ways, make them a part, and make them my ways? Paul tells us that divisions will occur. They're going to happen. But Paul also spoke very strongly to the Corinthians about divisions. Let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. Here in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 3, starting in verse 2, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, neither are you now yet able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and walking according to human principles? When we see divisions happening, it is a clear indication that we are not yet wholeheartedly, as a church, as those called by God, following His principles. But individually, we need to make sure that we are doing that. Am I following God wholeheartedly? There will be divisions among those God has called. There will be those who try to persuade others by using fine-sounding words and by using emotional enticements. You have to follow me. We do not want to be part of that division. So when this happens, we must make sure that our hearts are not divided, that our hearts are fully focused on God. We must seek Him, we must fervently seek Him, and we must keep His ways wholeheartedly. For when we do that, there will be no room for division within us. Indeed, when we do that, when we seek God, we keep His ways wholeheartedly, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength will be united with God.